Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rusty Manziel, the publisher. I'm not even reading all this crap, Rusty.
Don't read all that.
Dogs HQ. That's all you need to know.
I was second team all regions as a senior. That's the way you need to introduce me.
Our
second
conversation team all region. With Rusty brought you by Orchard, the smart, fast, hassle-free way to buy and sell your home. He's also a member of the Steakhouse, but he's kind enough to give us one segment each and every week. I told Steak it's like a trade. I do Mondays.
I hear Monday you. I listen. I listen. Yeah,
you true. And we get rusty for a Thursday.
They're always trying to talk you in that oven. I'm like, this dude's ready to go to the damn house. You can stay if you want. You're like, hey. And then they come back and they're like, all right, we're back with Drew. I'm like, this man's going to the damn house, Steak.
Sometimes I'm like, man, I could be a little more chatty. And other times I'm like, dude, I'm out. Yep. Especially he got me on the morning after we slept here on the air mattresses.
He ain't getting you Monday.
I was like, bro, I'm out.
He ain't getting you Monday morning.
No, he'll get him Tuesday.
Tuesday. That'll be fine. We get an extra hour. Reminder to Falcons fans, that game starts at 7:20 on Monday.
Yeah, that extra hour don't really do it. Like
it'll be better than not. It'll be better than the alternative.
Yeah, it just makes you even more sleepy.
I want to talk to Rusty about this Auburn-Oklahoma game. I just brought this up to you during
Auburn,
the break.
Auburn-Georgia?
I'm sorry. Auburn-Georgia. I just looked up and saw an Oklahoma thing. Yeah. Auburn-Georgia this weekend. And so the position group thing. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I was listening to some guys on the Cover 3 podcast, and they were talking about which positions go the way of Auburn and which position groups go the way of Georgia. It's a fascinating conversation because I think when you look at it, anybody looks at it and says, well, Georgia's just way better than Auburn. Mm. But I think there are certain position groups, possibly the offensive line with the injuries, that go Auburn's way.
Yeah.
It's just – I just wonder which is going to break first. Are we going to see Auburn's quarterback hold on to the ball long enough for Georgia's pass rushers
correct.
To get there? That's the question
correct.
For me going into this game.
And they've had 2 weeks to prepare. You look at that, Auburn's giving up the most sacks, and you know, for whatever reason, and Georgia's had kind of the least amount of sacks and what's going to give there. I really personally think it's going to come down to a couple things. And if I'm Georgia perspective, scared to death of Eric Singleton. Twice he's got into Georgia. I think he's 191 yards in 2 games against Georgia from Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Cam Coleman is a damn alien. I'm telling you right now, I don't know that I would take a wide receiver over him in the SEC. Well, like this dude's this dude is a bad – I don't know. I hope this ain't the week they go Cam Coleman getting 12 targets. I don't give a damn.
Well, he almost took over that Oklahoma game now.
I'm telling you, man, Cam Coleman is he's different. I've seen him in high school. If you're down from Phoenix City Central, this guy's different.
I think the question for me is, and I think you're the perfect person to answer this, if you're Kirby, do you say, and obviously Glenn Schumann's taken, I think, some unfair heat lately. You know, I know that first half against Alabama was bad, but the second half was very good. You completely shut them down.
They went man-to-man.
Yeah.
They trusted the coverage a little bit.
Well, look, I don't know what number he is, but number one for Georgia, I can never remember his name.
Ellis Robinson.
He's got some growing up to do in a lot of ways.
Yep.
The question, though, I want to get to before I dance around everything else is, do you just come with 4 with Jackson Arnold and say, look, you're going to pat that ball, you hold the ball too long, you're indecisive, I'm going to let you beat yourself in your own head? Because to me, his strength is letting him get out of the pocket and move around because he's going to gain some yardage. He can move. Mm-hmm. So do I let you sit in that pocket and dance around and then just bottle you up, or do I come at you and let you get elusive?
Well, the question there is, do you think you can cover? Do you think you can cover Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman for that long? And Malcolm Simmons, another good wide receiver they got too. So, you know, obviously you're going to mix those things up. Georgia, I think, has played a different mixture. This kid, he's not Jalen Milroe, okay? I'm not trying to say that, but he will hurt you with his legs, and that kind of what he wants to do. And I think Georgia came after Jalen Milroe in Tuscaloosa last year, and it was too late when they went back to the zone and tried to play him the way they did the year before. Well, this year they play Bama, and they play zone, and then they had to go man-to-man in the second half. They put DeMelo Jones, who hasn't played, they put DeMelo Jones in, and the game was different in the second half. They trusted their coverage. So, to me, it's going to be the quicker adjustment, how you're going to play him and how are things rolling. I think if Georgia can run the football, it changes the whole game. They've been successful running the football. The bigger question, Mike, is I know they listed him as questionable last night. I'm not sure Monroe Freeland's going to play, and it's so damn unfortunate because he's had a great year. Nobody talks about the left tackle 57 at Georgia. You know why? Because he's handling business.
I was going to say, that's a good thing.
When you don't mention 57, 100%. He is handling business. And I saw him Saturday leaving the field, man. When you see that boot and you see that kind of limp, I was like, damn, man. But it's so bad. Mike, I know it's an offensive lineman's worst nightmare. You're engaged.
Oh, dude.
And you're locked up, and you all of a sudden you're looking at the sky because you got rolled up
my
on.
My brother.
You know what I mean? It's
I can't tell you how many times leading up to the time where I broke my ankle doing that.
Yes.
How many times leading up to that where I would look down at my foot and just make sure it's in the right place.
Dude,
then that final time, it was not. And I was like, that's not good.
You're engaged. Next thing you do, you look at the roof.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know who was, as a matter of fact, you know who it was that caused mine?
Who?
And it was in practice, Geno Atkins.
Oh, my damn.
Yeah, man. That was great. And I love Geno. Obviously, good player. Played in the Senior Bowl with him.
Mm.
Good player. I attempted yesterday, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because I attempted yesterday to speak Kirbanese.
Yeah.
He was addressing the Jesse Palmer stuff.
There's been a lot of discussion.
Have that where he takes a gasp? Yeah. that's a him going, I'm not going to go in on Jesse.
Yeah.
I'm just going to focus back on my squad.
I focus on.
Yeah. You know, I would be interested in Kirby 5 years ago answering that. He is very polished now into what he does. And, you know, it's tough because Jesse Palmer's doing a job, but you also don't know any of the damn calls. You don't know anything that's going on there. He's Jesse Palmer, obviously. I like Jesse Palmer.
Sure.
I think Jesse Palmer, Greg Olsen, two guys that I lock in on when I watch.
I agree with that.
I love Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I do too. Jesse Palmer talks too much.
But I will tell you, he gives a lot more X and O stuff than some people that they're in this business.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does talk a lot, but I get that. Kirby was about to kind of say something to that reporter.
Exactly.
But he did.
Exactly. And I told him yesterday, I said, that little gasp of air, he was like, let me suck that one back in.
Somebody hit me up and said, that's how Kirby talks. And I said, yeah, because Kirby bites his tongue a lot, probably. Yeah.
100%.
He's a lot different, you know, in the year 10.
Well,
pretty calculated.
He's calculated. I felt like after that first national title, there's no doubt there's pressure, and there's even more pressure when you're the returning home,
mm-hmm.
right, to take your program to the promised land that it hasn't really been in a long time. And he did it, and so after 21, it kind of relieved him. He did repeat it in 22.
Did you see his buyout yesterday?
What is his buyout?
It's $105 million.
I was going to say, there was a report on CBSSports.com about it.
A little different when you got $105 to say, hey, God, never come back again.
That'll shut up some people on message boards, message boards genius or whatever they call it. Hey, I want to go away from Georgia because this is something.
And by the way, I picked Florida last week.
Well,
wants to bring that up.
That's where I want to go.
Yep.
Dallas Wilson.
He's a dude, man.
He goes to Oregon. He commits. He's there for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls out.
Yep.
Goes to Gainesville. And so I think he got lost in the fray.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the most important recruit in that class because he completely changed Florida's offense. Vernell Brown's a hell of a player at receiver. Trey Wilson's a disappointment because he doesn't stay on the field.
I don't understand Trey Wilson, but go ahead.
I don't think he loves the game. I don't know that, but he just – guys find a way to be on the field.
Yep.
He's never on it, okay?
Mm.
The running game was different because you then had two big-time targets to go to in Brown and Wilson.
They gave him the ball, by the way.
Yeah.
Jaden Ball.
No kidding, right?
They lathered him up.
Yeah, you almost got me to cuss. But like, no kidding. But for the first time in a long time, when they're running the ball on first down, and now it became predictable, and they brought that safety in the box, and they left them basically man coverage,
mm-hmm.
Billy Napier's testicular fortitude dropped, and he goes, put the kid up to bat, and he manhandled a good Texas secondary that was very physical with Jeremiah Smith. Is he a guy that can completely change the way that we look at Florida's offense?
I can dig in the next 5 minutes on Florida and Texas, but I can end this conversation in about 60 seconds. For whatever reason, it hasn't clicked with Florida. They got dudes. It did Saturday. I'm not sure how tough Texas is in the box.
Wow.
I'm not sure Texas wants to get in a phone booth and absolutely trade blows with a Georgia, with an Alabama, even a Florida there. They've got all this flashy stuff, and they've got guys that can absolutely run, and they got secondary guys and quarterback. That's another discussion.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Texas wants to absolutely get in there and let's get after it. I don't know. I haven't seen a game where I go, Texas took that thing over and they ran it down their damn throat.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. I agree with that. Their offensive line's been a disappointment. They lost a lot of talent from last year's O-line.
They did.
A disappointment.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One guy I do want to ask you about, because it's been thrown around a lot because they're playing Bam this weekend, is Missouri running back Ahmad Hardy.
Dude.
Now,
yards after contact, man.
Here's what I want to ask you about, because I think he's very interesting. This guy's out of Mississippi. What's the word? Oma, Mississippi. Yeah. All right. Goes to Louisiana Monroe. Just not a very heralded recruit. Now the guy's like in Heisman conversations. How many times have you seen it? Because you follow recruiting more than anybody. How many times have you seen that, like, in this portal era where you're like, good for that guy?
Well, the past different now. If not, if you're that kid, you're hoping that somebody sees you at Louisiana Monroe.
Right.
You're hoping. Now the path's a lot different. I mean, look at Cam Ward.
It would have been interesting to see, like, Randy Moss in this era where he ends up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but Randy Moss was a human highlight film in high school. Everybody knew about him. This guy, obviously, I didn't hear about this guy until about 4 weeks ago.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
That's what I wanted to know.
Didn't have a clue. And I tell you, the most impressive thing about him is yards after contact.
Yeah.
And the first, you know, you have a D tackle to hit him in the thighs one-on-one, and he breaks it, and he gets 20. I heard you talking about Falcons this weekend and wide zone. I have watched Missouri play under Drinkwitz twice in Athens. And after I left that game, I understand what wide zone is. And you're gonna get that this weekend. Good. They have wide zone written, from what I understand, in every offensive room on the walls. Even the wide receivers.
Come on.
You see that in the room, and you understand we're not trying to say who we're not. We're going to run wide zone here. We're not. Can you stop it?
Yeah.
And our linemen are gonna have to be able to block it.
Yeah.
So
they run the wide zone that's like Mike Shanahan style, where like there's a tight end attached on the front.
Yeah.
You know, and they really, really have the threat of always breaking outside.
I picked Florida last week. I'm telling you, Mike, that's a worrisome game, man.
Okay.
That's a worrisome game.
Part of it's that kickoff time.
I haven't picked Missouri, but I'm telling you, and I'll be honest with you, Georgia's got all they want. You look at the Vegas odds on that, and I'll tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think it's funny, and we brought this up earlier in the week or yesterday, that those spreads are the same in those two games with Georgia on the road at Auburn and Bama on the road at Missouri.
Somebody told me 2010 that Bama – were you on that team?
No.
So they beat the brakes off Florida.
Yes, they did. I was at that game.
They had two huge wins in a row. Then they go to South Carolina and get into that mess over
there. Played an egg, Stephen Garcia.
Yes. So they're kind of like, is this going to be that kind of scenario where you're coming off, you got your chest out a little bit, you beat Georgia, you beat Vandy, two games where you're sky high, and you got to get on a damn plane, and you got to play in Columbia, Missouri at 11 a.m.
Well, that's what we were talking about that with Dylan. And we were talking about somebody asked a question. I think Mike asked a question about which scenario is harder to play in. And I said, there's nothing as hard as playing in a sleepy game at 11 a.m. Central Time when you're used to playing. You just played in a 3:30 game. Yeah. And the week before, you played at in Athens in a night game.
From talking to players, and I remember talking to Tate Ratledge about this one time, they say it's miserable to sit around a hotel all day long.
It is.
That's 7 o'clock. You're off.
The middle window is where it's at.
Yeah, 3:30.
Yeah,
3:30. It's a routine.
And we were talking about Monday Night Football about this as well. It stinks. I know you go on the road with them, Bo. It stinks just from your perspective. It stinks sitting around a hotel for Monday Night Football.
You have enough time to do something, but not enough time to do anything worth doing.
I am such a sports geek nerd. One of the things I would love to sit down with a boxer is, how do you prepare to be at your best at 10 o'clock at night?
You know what they talk about? Good you know what I've heard, and this is a really interesting point, is a lot of those guys, Floyd Mayweather used to do this. Floyd Mayweather would train at night.
Would have to.
So his training would lead up, and whenever he would spar or whatever, it would be at like whatever time,
like 8 p.m.
the bell would ring at.
Western Central.
Mountain time. He would be training basically.
One of the damn ones.
It's West Coast in Vegas. But he would always train based on the time of the fight would be. And so it's amazing how they, you know, it's a really good thought process. But you can't do that in football because you're in every time zone and it fluctuates. It goes back and forth.
Yeah. We do, unfortunately, have to go to break. Rusty, appreciate you hanging out, as always.
I got a lot of texts about the beer conversation. We'll have that another day.
Well, okay.
Save that segment.
Stick around. And we'll
forget,
Steak can talk by himself.
Oh, boy.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. When we come back, we're going to talk more about those Atlanta Falcons. Zach Robinson, last week, moved down to the field. Is those changes here to stay? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Stick with us. Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.